But I want to read you a little something called Mountain Men.
There's a great difference in the mountain and the multitude. Mountain is the opposite of multitude. Jesus left the multitude behind. The mountain peaks are never crowded.
I climbed many mountains and I was almost always alone.
Why?
It's hard work, for one thing. Number two, not very many people desire to climb mountains.
I was almost always alone because it's hard work. People don't like to climb mountains. It's lonesome.
And it's sacrificial. You've got to forsake all. You've got to forsake the rest of the world and the valley to climb a mountain. I hope you're getting the spiritual meaning to this.
Yeah.
And it's apt to cost you your life. And it almost always costs you lots of scratches and bumps. Long after the valley was in darkness, I could still see the sun. There's more light on the mountain. The valley is almost always dark. It's full of people and things, but they're usually in darkness. The mountain is also windy and cold, but it's thrilling. And you really have to have the feeling that it's really worth dying for. Any mountain, the mountain of this life, the mountain of accomplishment, the mountain of obstacles, of difficulty, if you're going to climb them, they have to be worth dying for. You have to be brave. You have to brave the wind, the cold, the storm, which are all symbolic of our adversities. But on that mount alone, you feel so close to the Lord. The voice of His Spirit there is so loud, it's almost like it's thundering. The voice of the multitude is so loud in the valley that you can't hear the voice of God. The silence on the mountain peak is deafening. You get a real high on top of a mountain. It's a thrill. It's almost terrifying. Of course, it's extremely dangerous. You're never so near the abyss as you are when you're on the brink. One little misstep, however, will end you right down at the bottom again. You hit bottom pretty hard, too. Strange thing about mountain climbing, one reason it's so dangerous is that it's much easier to climb up than back down again. Once you're up, you may never get back. That's one of the prices you pay for mountain climbing. Most mountain climbers who were lost in the descent. Because when you're going up, you can see where you're going, but when you're going down, you can't see where you're going. How many people who go back really see what they are getting into? They think they're going back to the easy way, but they never realize what they're getting into by going back. A terrible letdown. You have a peculiar feeling like you don't want to leave the mountain when you're coming down. There's no inspiration in it. You've made the accomplishment. What's there to go back to? There's a certain drive, almost a spiritual thing about going up. You'll risk anything to get up. But going down, there's no inspiration, no goal, no accomplishment. You're just sliding back into the morass of humanity and the mire of the multitude. Only pioneers climb mountains. People who want to do something that no one ever did before. People who want to get above the multitude. Beyond what has already been done and accomplished. Pioneers have to have vision to see what no one else can see, faith to believe things no one else believes, initiative to be the first fool to try it, and courage, the guts to see it through. On the mountain, you're the first to see the sun rise, and you're the last to see it set. You see the full circle of God's glorious creation. You see the world in its proper perspective, with range after range to be conquered and a world beyond the horizon of normal man. A world beyond their vision and beyond their horizon. You see distant peaks yet to be climbed. You see distant valleys yet to be crossed. You see things that the men in the valleys can never see. They can't even comprehend because they can't see it. But you can see the 360-degree circumference of the total horizon, the entire scope. It's like seeing all of life from its beginning to its end and understanding. You feel like you're living in eternity, whereas down below, they're just living in time. You get over here in this little multitude and this little make-believe of mammon, and you can't see anything but time and creatures of time and things of time, which are soon to pass away. But you thrust your head above that of those around you in that multitude, and you yourself become a mountain in their midst. And they resent you. And they resist you. And they fight you because they can't understand you, because they don't want you. They don't even want to know there are mountains. They don't want their children to hear their mountains. But when you appear to be on a mountain while they are in the valley, they hate you because it's obvious that you're above them and they don't want anybody to be above them. They want to keep you stuck in the mud like the rest of them. They don't want it to be known there's any other place to go. They didn't want their children to know there's anything else or any other place to go. Or a way to get there. They want to keep them shut in down in the valley in the mud and the mire. Do you realize that since time immemorial, wars have always been fought between the people who lived in the valleys and the people who lived on the mountains? There have always been wars between the mountain people and the valley people. The mountain people are always tougher, huskier, hardier, but fewer. But they always survived. Because they always had their mountains to flee to, and the valley people could never follow because the valley people weren't tough and husky enough to climb. So they would chase them up a little way and let them go. They just wanted to get rid of them. They don't want to conquer mountains. The valley people, they don't really want to conquer mountains. They just want to get rid of the mountain people. The mountain people were just thorns in their flesh and pricks in their side. They proved someone could live somewhere other than in the valley. Something that they said was impossible. History is full of examples of mountain people conquering valley people, but seldom of the valley people ever conquering the mountain people. But the danger has always been that when the mountain people had conquered the valley people, then they themselves settled down in the valley. The valley land is man's country. The highlands are God's country. Man dominates the valley, but only God dominates the mountain. The men living on the mountains know this, but men living in the valleys, they think they are God because they dominate themselves. But those on the mountains live so close to God, and the things which are so frightening and terrible and dangerous, that they have to live close to God. The men in the valleys have become so secure they don't need God because they've forgotten there is any God. It's a rough and a rugged road and a hard and a heavy load, and the people you meet aren't always kind on the way up. But they're even worse down the valley, and in the valley they'll do everything they can to discourage you from climbing the mountain. There aren't many places to live on the mountain, little rugged shelters and lean-tos. Not much to eat, it's cold and windy. Well, it's a thrill to even die there. Better to die on the mountain than to live in the valley. Amen. Because who ever read in the newspapers about the man who slipped and fell on the city street on a banana peel? But the man who died on the mountain, even in far off Switzerland, you'd read it in newspapers everywhere. Amen. Because at least he dared to try. Beaten paths are for beaten men. But mountain peaks are for the mighty. You can take the mountain, and you'll leave the multitudes behind, and then you'll know who the disciples are. Only his disciples came unto him on the mountain. When he went up into the mountain, the only ones who had the priceless privilege of hearing the world's most famous sermon, the only ones who really heard from heaven that day were were the ones who left the multitude and took the mountain. The ones who followed Jesus all the way. You never hear about the people who wait to see if it can be done. You only hear about the people who made it or died trying. But when they make it, the mouth of God will be open unto you. He'll speak to you face to face. And he himself will teach you and reveal to you the greatest of all his secrets. So what do you hear on the mountain? You hear things that are going to echo around the world. What do you hear in the stillness? The whispers that are going to change the course of history. 8 people came down from one mountain. Noah and his family from the ark on Mount Ararat. And they were never the same, and the world was never the same. One man came down from a mountain, and the whole nation was never the same. And they changed the world. They were never the same. What changed them? When they heard the voice of God teaching them things that were completely contrary to what was being said down in the valley. The poor in spirit are a mountain people. They that mourn dwell on the mountain. The meek are from the mountains. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The people on the mountain hunger and thirst, and only God can satisfy. Power and greatness are symbolized by mountains in the scriptures, never by valleys. The mountain of the Lord's house, God's house is a mountain. You are a mountain. He speaks of the kingdom of God as a mountain. It becomes so great that it fills the whole earth. He speaks of Zion as a mountain. Out of Zion shall go forth the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord shall go out from the mountain of the Lord's house. Jerusalem is in the top of the mountains, believe it or not. It was one of the rare mountain cities of the world, and the Hebrews were a mountain people. Where are the Phoenicians that lived in the valley? They were rich and powerful, but they lived in the valley. And all those who lived in the valleys are gone, but those who lived in the mountains live to this day. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Where have you pictured those pastures? You know, I always pictured those pastures. Maybe a nice green pasture on the top of a mountain with crystal clear mountain pools. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What is his path like? It's a narrow and a rugged mountain path. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there is death in the valley. But there's life on the mountain. Get out of Death Valley! Free as a